So this is Sarah Glynn for Media News. Very happy to be at the Challenging Capitalist Modernity Conference with John Holloway. Happy to be here, happy to be talking to John, who is a very distinguished sociologist now working in Mexico. And John wrote the introduction to the third, well, the preface to the third volume of Oshuan's work, which I found a very inspiring preface because it manages to be both very supportive and very inspiring about what's written, but also critical in a very useful way. And so with bearing that in mind, I really wanted to ask John to start off with. He's described on Wikipedia and other things, I think, as a Marxist-oriented sociologist. So I wondered what message you feel that Oshuan can bring to people who aren't necessarily from that movement, people from a Marxist background, people from an anarchist background. What message does he have for us?
I think when I read Oshuan, that for me, really, the most exciting thing was that he kind of opened my world. He opened my world in the sense of introducing different, it's a different context, I mean, a different geographical, historical context. And he traces things back to the Sumerian Empire, which I would never have thought of. So I found it very stimulating in that sense, and at the same time felt very much in tune with it. I mean, that I shared an awful lot. I mean, I shared, obviously, the whole anti-capitalism or anti-capitalist modernity, as he would put it. I shared very much the critique of the state, though I suppose would go into it theoretically in a different way. But it was really what I felt above all was, yes, I mean, this is really an interesting approach. It's fresh, it's different. It's something that we should engage with very much, I think. And I think something that people are engaging with. I mean, it's really kind of a breath of fresh air. As you say, we're here in this conference in Hamburg, and it's really very striking how the whole Kurdish movement, just the composition of the, I mean, so many people here, and the composition of those people, I mean, how it's shows how the Kurdish movement has become such an important influence, I think, in radical left, radical anti-capitalist thought in the last few years, and also how the movement itself has opened up to different directions, to different ways of thinking. I mean, it's just being here. I mean, you started off by saying that you're glad to be here. I suppose I'd want to say the same. I'm glad to be here, not just to meet you, but glad to be here because of this kind of whole stimulating atmosphere of a kind of feeling of different things coming together. That's really, really good, I think.
I know later you're going to be talking about education, and I was wondering how you bring Oshuan's ideas into your own teaching, into the university.
I think that's difficult. I think, yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about education, then I think what I would want to say, or what I will want to say about education, really has to start from the kind of rage and indignation I feel, and I think that we all here feel about the decision by the president of the University of Hamburg and the administrative council to expel this meeting from the university. I think that is really my starting point, just how awful that is, how, for me, completely anti-intellectual, anti-theoretical, politically stupid, contemptible. I think to start from there, I find it difficult to think of how I bring Öcalan's ideas into my teaching. I think that what I was feeling before this dreadful decision by the university was really how to... I mean, it's really the same, isn't it, to think of education from where we are, to think of education as being a constant struggle, to think that what we are going to learn here, I think, is about the way in which education is being developed in the Kurdish movement. We could also, I don't know if there's going to be room for it, but the way in which the Zapatista movement has also been developing education now for 20 years. I mean, really rethinking education and rethinking their schools. But in addition to that, I think we have to think education from where we are, from our own contradictory experiences in schools or in universities. I mean, we don't actually exist, most of us, in an autonomous framework. We actually exist in and against the system, you know, and how we think of that as struggle.
Perhaps we could say that the students of Action of Hamburg have, the biggest education has been that this conference was banned. I mean, that is an
absolutely,
education.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, I think the banning is a huge education. No, wow, no, what is this? What is happening? What is this university? No, and what is happening in universities in general? No.
And just moving away from the real world, and you and your preface and others in previous prefaces have said how wonderful it would be able to actually sit down and talk.
Absolutely.
With Öcalan. So if you had 5 minutes with Öcalan, what subjects would you raise?
I think I'd want more than 5 minutes. I suppose, I mean, what you want to... What subjects would I raise? I think perhaps what I would want to ask first is, well, how does he feel? Is he good? Is it good to get out after all these years in isolation? You know, we were thinking, you know, in the preface, I think it's a question of sharing a chai or maybe a whiskey on my part. You know, and I suppose you really want to start off in some way at a level of personal experience. No, I mean, we don't just have ideas, we have ideas that come out of experiences. And really to go on from there, and what would I ask him? I think the one thing I would ask him would be I don't know, there could be lots of different theoretical points about the question of money and the market, for example. That he sees the market as being important. I mean, market thinking, I think of the market in terms of a kind of small-scale market as being an important part of the development of a post-revolutionary society. It seems to me, I mean, in a much more traditional Marxist framework, that no, that we shouldn't think in terms of the market at all. that we have to think in terms of some sort of common communal system of planning, of production and distribution. So, I mean, that I think on a more, I suppose, an intermediate level between between theory and practice, I think I'd want to ask him about how he feels about his own cult status within the movement. You know, when he's obviously has had an enormous impact in making people think and move away from hierarchical structures and think of the revolutionary movement and as a collective communal effort, which is so evident here in this Congress, for example. And on the other hand, you have Öcalan as the leader figure, which is an obvious contradiction. How does he deal with that? Certainly that was also a theme in the Zapatista movement, where Subcomandante Marcos really emerged as a leading figure, and from earlier, very early on in the movement, was trying to find ways of breaking it, you know, and then later on, a few years ago, he withdrew. He's no longer the principal spokesman, and he also changed his name. You know, he let Marcos die and reemerged as Galeano. So I think that it would be interesting to make the comparison. Okay, how do you, if we are thinking of revolutionary movements now as non-hierarchical movements, then how do you go against this emergence of kind of key figures? I mean, Öcalan obviously in the Kurdish movement, but also Marcos, against his will, probably in the Zapatista movement. I think that's what I'd like to talk to him about.
And just as a final question, we've talked about, well, going a bit more actually onto organisation as well as ideas, but I was wondering, it's a very friendly sort of feel when you go to any Kurdish organisation, I've always felt, and I was wondering if you felt that there were things that we could learn from that, just the organisation of the organisation and the comradeship, the Havalti, are the lessons from that. What are they doing right that we could learn from?
I think they're doing right. Arriving here this morning, of course I was in a similar event a few years ago. It's really this. My overwhelming feeling is yes, they're doing it right. They're doing it amazingly. There's this kind of combination of very high standard of discussion, a very friendly atmosphere, very welcoming, very international, which obviously involves an awful lot of hard work by the organizers. The way in which they have reacted, for example, to this contemptible expulsion from the university, just seems to me extraordinary. How are they doing it right? They're wonderful, I suppose.
Do you have a final word? Do you want to have a final word?
Final word. No, I suppose the final word would really be just how important these events are, just how important the influence of movements like the Kurdish movement and the Zapatista movement is for the way in which we who are neither Kurds nor Mexican indigenous, no, the way in which we think, the way in which we think about the world, the way in which we hope for a different society. I think the important thing for me is not to think in terms of solidarity with a them who are over there, but really to think of the way in which the interaction with them is enormously stimulating, certainly for us. We hope also for the people directly involved in the Kurdish movement. I think that would be my final word. Yes.
My final. Looking forward to the rest of the conference.
Thank you very much, Sarah.